The easiest way to win playoff tickets is by following TSN 1050 on Instagram. Follow us, like our latest giveaway post, and tag who you want to bring to the game. It's that simple. Check us out at TSN 1050 on Instagram.
Pass back the other side. Anderson diving. I don't know if he got a piece of that. I think he did.
That'd be the most spectacular save of the playoffs.
I thought that was a real big save for Freddie, and we need him to be good.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official playoff voice of the Leafs.
We are 1 hour away from puck drop. Game four tonight down here at the ACC. We are live from Maple Leaf Square. It's Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan. The O-Dog will be back in a moment. He'll be dragging Bobby Mack in here. Bob McKenzie, he'll be ecstatic to be in the food truck.
Well, with no food.
There's no food, but we're in a food truck doing the show.
We should have had some food brought in, but that's all right.
It's all right. We're low-maintenance kind of guys. We don't complain very often.
No, not. Actually, we complain a lot.
That's all we really do is complain, but...
But the O-Dog is not here. He's coming back from his hit, but
yep.
Once he gets back, he will complain about how cold it is outside.
I'm sure that he will. And speaking of complaining, we randomly brought this up. You were down here. We're both down here, and you can see outside the truck, and we're in Maple Leaf Square, and there's a ton of Leaf fans kicking around.
Yeah.
There's a guy in a Bruins jersey, so I guess I give him credit. I mean, Toronto doesn't have the reputation of, like, Oakland or Philly
or
something
like that.
Yeah, he's
not going to get suckered, but as long as he's not obnoxious, too. I mean,
yeah, don't be stupid. If you're wearing the opponent's colors, I mean, don't be obnoxious, and nothing's going to happen to you. Not that we're promoting that, but you know how stupid people can be. But you witnessed a Mikhail Grabowski jersey.
Yes.
Which I have not seen a Grabo Maple Leaf jersey in a long time.
It's kind of like the old regime. And it's funny, I even think back to the arguments people used to have. Like how Grabowski was a great analytics player. And I think, wasn't it Dello and Steve Simmons, like Tyler Dello, the analytics guy, and Steve Simmons?
Yeah, he was in studio.
They
were
went
both
like
in studio.
Toe-to-toe over like Grabowski. Like think of how far the team has come where Grabowski is just an afterthought. Like I saw Nikolai Kulam, and I played with him in Russia for the short time I was there. And he was a very solid player. Nothing, you know, to write home. Kind of, to me, a lot like Komarov, that, you know, hardworking, strong on the puck, that had a good, kind of an outlier season. I think Komarov got close to...
He did have 30.
Kulemin got 30.
Kulemin had 30. They had that one big year. It was Kulemin, Grabowski, and Clark MacArthur.
Exactly.
That was the line.
Yeah. But you look at it, Kulemin was injured all season, or close to it, with the Islanders. Grabowski is on Vegas's roster out the whole year, and Clark MacArthur, unfortunately, was injured the whole year as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what that proves, as you look back on it now, just how bad it was with this team. That people were going to war suggesting that, oh, they can't possibly move on with Mikhail Grabowski or without Mikhail Grabowski or Nick Kulemin. You know, I mean, if that was a line intact now when they were in their prime, they'd be the third or fourth line on this team.
Yeah, probably the third line.
Third line on this team.
Yeah.
And I mean, anyway, the reason we brought it up was because you spotted the jersey, and then you brought up the fact that Jonas Siegel, when he was still working with us at TSN Radio,
scooped him,
he got the scoop. He called up Mikhail Grabowski, who I think was getting married at the time.
He was getting married in Toronto, but most of the team actually was at Phaneuf's wedding out in PEI.
They got married the same weekend?
Same, like, night or same... Grabowski, I think, was a Friday, and I think Phaneuf was Saturday, something like that.
How would they not figure that out? Like, you were teammates. Why would
I don't know, but all I know is one guy had most of the team at his wedding and the other guy didn't. But, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's not a popularity contest. It was more about Grabowski went off.
He went off because, as we remember, he had that really big contract. They gave him 5 years, $5 million a year.
Yeah.
And coming out of the second lockout, you could buy out two different contracts. And they bought out Mike Komisarek.
Yep.
And you just knew they were going to buy out Grabowski. And they ended up doing that. And at his wedding, Jonas Siegel goes like undercover and calls him up. And I have not heard this in years.
Yeah.
I can't believe we found it. I mean, shout out to Mullen and Hunt back in the studio, because somehow we found this. I'll bet you there's a large portion of the audience that has never heard this before.
It was exclusive audio.
Exclusive audio, TSN 1050. I guess we can credit Jonas
to
an extent. And this was Mikhail Grabowski after he got bought out.
I'm playing the Russian KHL, I make lots of points. what's going to happen. And he make me f***ing play in the, like, fourth line. And they put me in the blue wall f***ing in the, like, fourth line and third line again. Yeah, I don't score goals. I need to work more about that. I know that. But if you feel support from your coach, I don't feel any support for this f***ing idiot.
I just remember idiot. That's all I remember. I forgot about all the F-bombs in there, but yeah.
Yeah, he referenced his numbers in the KHL, too. Yeah, like, that means anything.
Scored goals in the KHL, and yeah, he was...
He hated Randy Carlyle.
Yeah, very worked up about Randy.
Man, was Randy a polarizing guy in this town.
It's funny, because Pronger played for him in Anaheim, and he's a guy who is... He likes his veterans. He's hard on the young guys. He's a very transparent coach. He tells you exactly how he feels. And that's, I think it, if you look at it, he works better with a veteran team because nowadays you have to be very careful of people's feelings and stuff like that. And in pro sports, how that translates, right? And I think Phil could obviously handle him with a good one, Randy, and all of that type of stuff. But it's with the young athlete, when you're hard on them now, there has to be, and I agree with this, a layer of respect that you give them. And sometimes the old school, the throwbacks, don't have that in their delivery. They may respect them a ton as players and as people, but sometimes their delivery doesn't come with that level of respect that you feel you should get.
And if the player starts turning on you,
exactly,
you're in big trouble.
You lose a player.
Well, yeah. I mean, honestly, there's just a cast of characters that are a part of the history of this team that obviously are completely irrelevant tonight because
exactly.
It's all about game four and we're down here and you can feel it. I mean, I think the scalpers are pretty happy that they picked up game three because my understanding is the prices are just
through the roof,
which is what you would expect. But we've been talking about it all week. Considering what happened in Boston with the first two games, this was really... There was one outcome that had to come from both games. They're both must-win games.
Yeah.
You know, I've said this multiple times this afternoon. I have kind of the same feeling going into the game tonight that I did in Game 3, even though they did pick up a win. And it's nice to have that visual that you know they can do it, considering what happened in Boston the first two games. But the pressure is still completely on the Maple Leafs. Like, Boston's going to say the pressure's on us to hold on to momentum and we don't want to let them back in the series. I don't buy that for a second. I think it's 100% on Toronto tonight.
And it's not about moral victories.
No,
it's
you
about
have to
a
win.
Victory.
You have to win
like
tonight.
It doesn't matter
how you do it. And I know you've said this multiple times, and in a perfect world, you're 100% right.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't want them to give up 40 shots or 45.
Right.
But if it happens, Freddie Anderson's got to make the stops.
He's got to steal it. You're right.
He's got to do it.
Freddie's a capable goaltender to do that. That's not what I was more saying. It's more like, hey, you know, you had four posts last game. You had a ridiculous save. Like, you can't expect him to do that. You want him to do that. But what you need is goal support like he had last game. And... You know, a couple areas where you manage the puck a little bit better. The one thing, you know, lost in all this, they only gave up one power play. That's the truth. So, you know, that's one thing.
I think that was more in the officiating, though.
You're like, right.
They let them play.
They did let them play, but the Bruins are, what, 5-for-11 on the power play? Like, you can't let anybody have that type of clip. You've got to find a way. If they're shorthanded a couple times tonight, your goalie's got to be your best penalty killer, but they have to be a lot more aggressive on holding the line. Marchand's goal was offside in the first game, but they still allowed the blue line too soft.
Mm-hmm.
And those are adjustments that you can make along the way to be a little bit more aggressive in critical areas to limit time and space. Same thing with the Bruins. They're going to be focused on Marner. They're going to be focused on Matthews. Nylander, I think he's been quite quiet. He had a beautiful assist to Matthews the other day, and it was there's a couple things that I think he's done where you're like, okay, yep, we're seeing some good stuff from Nylander, but consistent.
No, he can give you more. He can give you more. And you have to ask for more.
Absolutely.
That's not asking for too much in the playoffs for your best players to be your best players. And that's why I think the past couple of days, Mitch Marner has deserved the accolades he's received. I think he has played well. I thought he played really well in Game 3. And he's going to have to replicate that, if not continue to elevate it. But I think Ray put it perfectly. What's going to happen on July 1st
right.
should dictate how we feel about who has to be the best player tonight. And what he meant by that is,
right.
come July 1st, who's getting paid more money? Matthews or Marner?
Matthews every day of the week.
Every day of the week. So as much as Mitch has to factor in,
right.
Matthews has to continue to get better.
Yep.
And he played well in Game 3, and he had a brilliant goal, and it turned out to be the game winner.
Right.
But superstars elevate on
they
that.
Do. They
superstars
elevate.
Say, okay, now I've got some skin in the game. Watch what I bring in Game 4.
At critical times. And that's, you know, we're going to have – I mean, that's the one thing we are, if you're even a hockey fan – like both teams have some real talented players that it's been on display. Goaltending's been good. You've had some great goals. You've had some real nifty plays. It's been physical, but not. I mean, yeah, there was a couple dirty plays, and you know that those were dealt with. A couple missed calls, absolutely. You could, for both sides, you could argue that, but it's more. This is what the playoffs are all about. Is everything is under a microscope. Every play, every turnover, every, you know, missed hit, missed assignment, that type of stuff. And not only the good stuff, the bad stuff is coming out. I'm seeing another Grabowski jersey. I'm not lying.
Wow, that is a totally different human being with a Mikhail Grabowski jersey.
That's two Grabowski. Like, I know he was quite popular here, but, man, that's pretty exciting to have a second Grabowski jersey walk by. Considering you see Matthews, Marner... I've seen a lot of Dougie G,
yeah,
of course.
See, Dougie gets represented. There's a Wendell right there on the corner.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, we're dealing with, like, Grabowski. There's a Captain 27, so that's old-school Sittler.
You see some of those. The old-school grit grinders that are holding on to the, you know, when it was their prime.
Yeah.
Back in the day when a Thursday night at the Gardens.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you'd really wind up your evening afterwards.
Yeah.
We were just saying, the O-Dog's in here, Bob McKenzie joining us here in the food truck in just a moment. We have spotted two different guys in Mikhail Grabowski jerseys.
Wow.
That's an oldie.
Yeah, an oldie.
I used to like that guy. I don't know. I wasn't working here. Maybe I was.
We played the sound of him going off.
Remember him and Randy Carlisle?
Oh, yeah. Idiots.
Yeah.
Do you want to play it again?
Yes.
We
let me hear
play
it
for.
All right, Mullen. Do you have that? If you have it, let's rock it here and let's hear what Mikhail Grabowski said exclusively to TSN 1050 the weekend of his wedding, which just happened to be the weekend he got bought out by the Maple Leafs.
I'm playing the f-ing Russian KHL. I make lots of f-ing points. What's going to happen? He make me f***ing play in the, like, fourth line. And they put me in the blue-off f***ing in the, like, fourth line and third line again. Yeah, I don't score goals. I need to work more about that. I know that. But you feel support from your coach? I don't feel any support for this f***ing idiot.
How's that, Bob?
It's impressive.
What do you do with that kind of audio? I mean, if you're calling a player and you know he's not in a good mood... Are you expecting that? I mean, where does the journalist in you respond?
Wasn't
to
that
a clip
the Beagle
like
that got that?
Yeah, it was Jonas Siegel that got it.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was a good clip.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's, you know what? Everybody complains when players don't, they give you the cliches, and then when somebody gives you the truth, some people get upset by it. So, no, bring it on.
Do you know where he plays right now, Mikhail Grabowski?
Nowhere, because he's got concussions.
Well, yeah. He does, but he's technically,
who has
his rights are owned by someone. Do you know who it is?
Vegas?
Yes.
Vegas. This guy's off to the second round.
If they win the Cup.
Is he even, like, is he one of those guys, like, that wouldn't even go there, like David Clarkson, or, well, I don't even.
Do you know where David Clarkson's contract
Vegas?
Is?
Vegas.
Vegas.
Yeah. Yep.
But do they have to move there and go there, or do they just say stay home and don't even?
Oh, no, there's no issues there. They're on LTIR.
And that's it.
That's it.
Yeah, George McPhee doesn't even bother them. There's no point.
Nobody, they are on their own little island. They didn't even have to go to Robben Island.
Okay. Bob McKenzie joining us here in the truck ahead of Game 4 tonight. We're live at Maple Leaf Square. Puck drop in about 45 minutes right here on TSN Radio. To me, it feels the same tonight going into Game 4 as it did going into Game 3. Like, I feel like this is just as much of a must-win as Game 3.
I think you're absolutely right. You might feel like there's more confidence now, but I don't want to say there shouldn't be. And I do get when Mike Babcock says it's great for Austin Matthews to score a goal. Absolutely it is. It's great for Freddie Anderson to make a circus save in the final couple of minutes of the game. Understood. Helps your mindset. Helps everything. But for all the same reasons that the Leafs were in a position to do what they did in Game 3, after two horrendous efforts in Boston, there's nothing to stop the Boston Bruins from doing in Game 4 what they did in Game 1 and Game 2. And that is, it goes back to the old thing we talk about all the time. There is no momentum from game to game in the playoffs. And it's especially true when you get to see the same opponent over and over and you get to strategize. And I know O was talking a lot on our SportsCenter hits about the stretch pass and how successful it was. And it changed the game. And I think it unnerved the Bruins, and I think it caught them a little bit off guard how frequently the Leafs were doing it. And now they're going to be ready for that. So now they're going to make adjustments. And so now will Toronto make adjustments in
it's like a poker game.
Exactly. Right. And it's back and forth. And so maybe all the things that worked so well last game aren't going to work at all tonight. You don't know. But the point being is it's a hockey game. That's why they play the games. But, you know, anybody who would think that the Leafs had no chance in Game 3 are probably a lot of the same people who think that Boston's got no chance tonight.
Right. Well, and you talk about momentum and how it doesn't exist. I think you can have a similar conversation revolving around the officiating, where in Game 3, the refs decided to let them play. There were only a couple of penalties called outside of the Marchand-Riley coincidentals at the end of the third period, which were irrelevant at that point. How do you think the teams feel about that going into Game 4 and having no idea what these new refs are going to be calling?
Yeah, well, that's part of playoff hockey. You just kind of got to, you know, you got to read the game real quick. And the one thing I've noticed that they have been calling a lot is guys are getting, if you're going to scrum it up, one guy's been going. And that's been upsetting to teams. Winnipeg Jets were upset when Adam Lowry got taken off. Washington Capitals were upset when Tom Wilson got taken off. Because you got a scrum and everybody's punching each other and everybody's knocking each other down. And then they've been taking one guy, not two. And the guy that's going to the box is thinking, man, that just seemed like good old-fashioned. I beat him up, he beat me up in a scrum, and I'm going to the box. But that's the danger you run into if right. you don't play whistle to whistle. So the lesson there is play whistle to whistle and don't get into the scrum stuff, and you should get a pretty clear read on the refs early in the game as to whether everything's being called or whether it's a little bit Hudson Bay.
Well, outside of the stick swinging late in the game, Marchand has stayed out of the box, yet there have been a couple of times where you watch him, you're like, that's kind of an interesting move. Maybe they could have called that. I mean, as much as he's a brilliant player and he drives you nuts, he's perfected.
By the way, watch for him tonight. I just got a feeling about that guy where it's one of those games that this guy shows up and he gets the job done. They want this win tonight.
Oh, of course they do.
And
but
like, he seems like the kind of guy that would just be that guy.
He's one of the most clutch players. And I know clutch gets overrated a little bit, and people don't want to ascribe intangibles to a player that, you know, they're either a good player, they're a bad player, and the magnitude of the game doesn't really matter. But I think for a player like this, it does. Whether it was Game 7 against the Boston Bruins, whether it was the World Cup game. And I'm not saying this is on the same level as that, but he's most certainly a guy that senses the moment and has the ability to elevate and play at a really high level. And let's be honest, he plays on one of the very best lines in the league. And the Leafs took this line to the woodshed pretty good last game. Bergeron was minus two. Pasternak was minus two. And Marchand was minus three.
Yeah.
And they're going to be, you know, they're proud guys. And you heard Bruce Cassidy in the off day say, yeah, you know what, their big guys showed up and our guys kind of got schooled a little. Well, I'm sure they'll be... they're looking to answer for that. And so it will be a highly motivated number one line that, when it's going, is amongst the very best lines in the league.
With Bob McKenzie again, Game 4 tonight, puck drop at 7, pregame at 6:30 right here on TSN Radio.
Moving away from the Leafs, has the sideshow started around the league? Billy Peters coaching, what happens in Anaheim? Like, it could all just kind of explode.
Yeah,
now.
You know what? There's lots of things percolating, and obviously the first one we're kind of watching is Billy Peters. His window to leave Carolina and seek employment elsewhere closes up tomorrow. And my understanding is there's a lot of conversation between him and the Calgary Flames right now. I think they're trying to finalize a deal. I'm not reporting that it's done, but I'm suggesting that I wouldn't be surprised if they get it done. The one thing I think is pretty clear, and I was tweeting about this morning, I don't think Billy Peters wants to go back to Carolina, and I don't think Carolina owner Tom Dundon particularly wants him back, to be honest. So it's one of those cat and mouse games where if he doesn't get a deal done with Calgary, and as I say, I wouldn't be surprised if he does, but if he doesn't get that done by the deadline, you know, you're a coach in the NHL, you may not want to go back there, but you don't want to leave money on the table and say, yeah, you know what, that last year on my contract, don't worry about it. I'll just go to unemployment and hopefully I'll get hired in Dallas or
tell you what, there's not a lot of coaches that can say, I don't want to go back there, and they might be screwed and not have a job. This guy's fortunate. For not winning, he can just pick right up and have another offer right in the table.
Yeah, Brad Freeliving and he were they were together in the World Championships in the past and got to know each other pretty well. And he's an Alberta guy, and we've kind of sensed right from the get-go that if Glenn Gullitson were let go, which he was, that Bill Peters would be front and center as a possibility. Daryl Sutter's name cropped up, amongst others. But I think all things being equal, if they can get the contract done, they are in this window where maybe something will happen here in the next 24 hours in Calgary. But we'll have to wait and see. As I said, nothing's done yet. And I don't mean done. Nothing is a done deal yet. But we'll see where it goes from here in the next 24 hours.
How do you think the NHL feels about all of these suspensions, all these one-game suspensions that have been going on? And it seems like it began with Doughty, where Doughty, that was a controversial hit, but a lot of people see it one way, other people see it the other way, and it really set the tone. And because Doughty came out the next day and just absolutely ripped into the league and ripped into the decision, it got to a point where it felt like the league was kind of on the clock for the next suspension. We just found out Ryan Hartman's been suspended. Josh Morrissey got suspended. Kadri got 3 games. Like, do you think if they could have a mulligan, they'd go back and say, you know what, actually, that Doughty suspension, not a suspension?
No. They believe, and I realize Drew was upset about it, and I realize a lot of people who like hitting in hockey say, hey, he wasn't trying to take his head off. He was trying to make a body check. He didn't quite square up and hit him entirely. Clipped the head a little bit. That's not a suspension. Well, the National Hockey League says otherwise. Now, people then say, well, what about Kucherov last night? Exact right. Same hit. It's not the same hit.
Right.
As soon as I saw it, I said, everybody's going to say this is the same hit. It's not the same hit. He got much more body on body. And I'm not even sure 100%. I watched it over and over and over again, and I'm sure player safety gets better looks at it than I do. I'm not sure there was direct contact to the head. There may have been, but in the NHL rules, if you get a full body on body hit, and even if your shoulder drills the guy in the jaw or front in the face, it doesn't matter as long as you got that full body on body. And in the eyes of the NHL, they believe Kucherov got full body on body in Vatanen. And whether he hit him in the head or whether his head snapped back, whether he got injured, it doesn't matter to them. That was more directly lined up than what Doughty did. And listen, I'm a guy now who says, no hits to the head, no excuses. I'm ready to penalize anybody who hits anybody in the head. The league's not. The rules are what they are right now. I think they called the rules according to what they are. A lot of people disagree.
You guys are off to do SportsCenter. And don't forget, the pregame's coming up in about 10 minutes with Jim Taddy and Greg Gilbert. Puck drop just after 7. Game 4 tonight here on TSN Radio. Enjoy it tonight. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We're going to chat then.